Blog Talk Radio.
You got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative, don't mess with Mr. In-Between. You gotta spread joy up to the maximum, bring gloom down to the minimum, have faith. A pandemonium liable to walk upon the scene.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Positively Affirmative. This is the show where we affirm you, our listening audience, with education, information, and resources in the areas of self-care, career development, business building, and wealth consciousness, challenges, and solutions. I am your host, Katrina Jones, Prosperity Life Coach of Satori Life Skills Institute, along with Hasina Roach, Relational Consultant, and Wanda Miles, Radio Personality. Hi, ladies. How are you today?
I am good.
I'm good. Feeling personality out.
Awesome. Well, you know, that's really great, and I'm really excited about our show topic today, which is Reflect, Renew, Reevaluate, Reflections on 2015 Goals. And one of the reasons that I thought it would be really important or really helpful to talk about or reflect on 2015 goals is because we are three quarters through the way of 2015. And in January, you know, a lot of people like to do set New Year's resolutions, set goals for, you know, the year, and, you know, want to achieve those goals by the end of the year. But often our goal, you know, often when people set those New Year's resolutions or set those goals, by February, March, April, it's just on the back burner. And so I want to take a different viewpoint of goal setting, and you know, we're going to look at different areas in our life where goal setting is important. So what I like to say is that this show is about developing a wealth consciousness mentality, because it is 90% of our thinking. And for that to happen, we have to understand what, you know, we have to understand what a wealth consciousness is. But before we can understand what a wealth consciousness is, we also need to understand what having a poverty consciousness is, or having poverty thinking. Because when it comes to goal setting, when it comes to goal setting, it really is all about not only what is it that we're trying to achieve, but what is the mindset that we are going into this new endeavor with? What is the mindset that we have, and what is the mindset that we're able to maintain, you know, as we're going through? So, you know, poverty is a state of mind. Poverty is thinking in a belief of lack and mentality. And few people are willing to admit or even believe that their philosophy is based on lack principles. The actual process of poverty thinking can be difficult to identify, and many people don't even recognize the red flags. Looking at our thought processes, we may be able to hold certain beliefs that are not even in alignment with what our dreams and what our goals are. And poverty thinking may have developed from our environment, where we live, our parents of origin, And we learn, you know, sometimes we learn a poverty thinking in our different customs and beliefs. So, ladies, you know, let's kind of talk about that, because I think that's really important to be mindful and to even recognize, are my goals even aligned in agreement with my belief system? You know, if I grew up, go ahead.
Today I'm playing the role of the student. Because I'm coming out. I am a poverty thinker for some unknown reason. I think it's the artist mentality that I need to lose, or the public service mentality. But I'm done with it.
Okay.
And I'm coming out here on the podcast. I'd like to work it out of my life.
Awesome. Awesome. You know, I think that it takes a lot of courage to even recognize that I may be thinking in ways that are negative and are not serving me. You know, I think a lot of people don't even like to, you know, to look at it from that perspective. And just want to give a few, you know, what I like to say is that, you know, when we have a lack mentality, lack and limitation, they don't travel alone. They have some buddies to tag along. And those buddies are emotions like hate, which is a strong dislike of a person, place, or thing. Resentment, which is holding on to negative feelings against, you know, either real or perceived injustices. Envy, which is when you don't feel happy or good about another person's success or good fortune. Jealousy, which is affectionately known as the green-eyed monster. and that is, again, being fearful that someone has more success or advantage than I do. There's revenge, which is to injure, punish, or harm someone for real or perceived injustices. And I think that perceived is really important, because it doesn't even have to be true. Apathy, which is a feeling of indifference or lack of concern. Guilt, which is huge. Overwhelming feelings of loss or disappointment or sorrow. And then doubt, which is a feelings of insecurity and sometimes uncertainty. And those are just a few of the emotions that we deal with that don't always align or equal the goals that we want to set for ourselves. What do you think about that, Hasina?
Oh, boy, I think a lot about that, actually. First, going back to the poverty mentality, I'm wondering if it's fully a poverty mentality or what has been given to you versus what was given to somebody else. Because some people, they grew up around money, and some people have not. Yes, we have the people that also have made it past that situation where they are making good money, but also we got to remember, there's, when you talk about a poverty mentality, yes, it's some emotions attached to that, but also it's how you started off. What hand was you given when you came into this world? Were you given a hand of a silver spoon of, okay, my grandparents and grandparents and grandparents already had money, so I'm going to have money? Or did I come into this world and I didn't have anything, and I knew I might need to do a little more, or things might be a little bit more challenging for me to get what I want to get. I think about that, and then when you're talking about the emotions to poverty, I think there's a big part of that versus the success and the wealth. What is the definition of wealth, and what is the definition of success? Now, I believe that when I think of success, it doesn't mean that you need to be a millionaire. You're happy with what you have. Maybe you're able to take that one vacation a year and spend money as you want to versus wealth that maybe you were born into a silver spoon mentality or lifestyle before. That's what I think about.
I think those are really, really great points, Christina.
Thank you. That one struck the chord for me. As you know, some might know, but my father came here as an immigrant from Trinidad. My aunt actually came here, I think, in the late 60s, and she was an indentured servant. And my mom, on her side, she lived in the South, and she lived on a farm. And there are times whatever crop was the crop for that season is what they're eating. So if they were going to eat corn for a whole season, they're eating corn. If they're going to eat tomatoes, they're going to eat tomatoes. And I must say that my parents are doing well now, or what I consider well. You know, I grew up in a middle-class family, but I do think about those things of what my aunt probably had to go through to make it here and bring her siblings over and her parents over to have a better life.
Yep.
Good points. Very good points, Christina. And remember, we're talking about thinking. We're not talking about, because some people, you know, we all do come from different socioeconomic classes. You know, some of us are born into poverty. Some of us are born into middle class. And some of us are born into wealth. But when we talk about poverty thinking, it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the class that we were born into, but it has to do with how we view the resources that we may or may not have. And we're gonna go deeper into that. You know, poverty, you know, you're correct. Like I said, it may have come from environment or where you worked, where you know, you're from your parents or even customs and beliefs. So, you know, let me give you an example. An example of that is when I drive through an affluent neighborhood, is my thought process, these people have more money than they deserve? Or, you know, why do these people have all this money? You know, what is my thinking process as I'm dealing with, you know, as I'm going through this situation? Or, you know, did I grow up with a belief system that I have to, you know, in order for me to be good or to be of value, I have to give things away? You know, and it's different for everybody. You know, we all grew up in different situations and circumstances, but it's important for us to pay attention to where our beliefs come back, not only or where our beliefs come from, not only our beliefs about money, because wealth, money is just one sliver of having a wealth mentality. Mm-hmm. You know, when we talk about wealth consciousness, we're talking about having abundance and having an overflow of many different things in our life, our health, our
relationship.
Our relationship, absolutely, our relationship. So, you know, we're talking about what are our beliefs and where do our beliefs come from? Just reflection, absolutely. So, but we have to understand what poverty thinking is so that as we go into what wealth consciousness or what wealth thinking is, we can compare and contrast. We understand the difference. Let me also say your positive beliefs may be overshadowed by other people's negative beliefs. I could be really positive, but if I'm around people who are negative all the time, you know,
this is my,
they may
overshadow.
Uh-huh. They may overshadow, you know, they may overshadow, you know, my positive thinking. And that's important to recognize if it's happening or even the possibility that it could be so. Negative emotions, when fueled attract and promote feelings of pessimism, doubt, and hopelessness. And that's what I think is important for us to kind of to be mindful of. You know, when I look at my emotional scale, where am I? How am I feeling as I'm trying to reach certain goals, or you know, just where am I in my circumstances right now? Wealth consciousness is also a state of mind, equally a state of mind. And it's a way of thinking that reflects growth, gratitude, and plenty. Wealth consciousness is the healthy desire, ability, and passion that allows us to focus on our goals. It's also a willingness to take the necessary steps, obstacles, to make things happen. So, Hesina, when I hear you say, you know, my aunt, you know, she came from, you know, from humble beginnings, and, you know, but she's doing well now. And I, you know, and I need to, I always think about that, you know, so her mentality may not have, you know, she may have had a wealth mentality, even though her physical circumstances didn't always support her thinking process. And, you know, as she set goals and continued to reach those goals, she was able to, sounds like, come out of the physical circumstances that she found herself in, although that may not have been her mental state.
I really wish I could give you an answer. I'm sitting here thinking, and I never asked her, but maybe it's the mentality of the culture of happiness and being jovial at all, because we all had our ups and downs. And as I use the example of my aunt, I think of one Thanksgiving, and I was with family, and at that time they didn't have heat or anything, but that was the best Thanksgiving I ever had and the best turkey I ever had. And we had a grand old time. So I think sometimes it's not.
Was there dancing?
Yeah, dancing.
Oh, yeah.
It's a negative thing or anything like that, but it's awesome. And I don't know how. It was my uncle. I don't know how he was able to still be happy in a situation where we didn't have heat, we didn't have hot water, but we were okay. We were okay, and
that's
we were happy.
Cause it sounds like he didn't allow his circumstances to determine his lot in life, how he was going to feel about his life.
That's who he was.
Like.
And
right.
That's awesome. And that's what we're talking about. Wealth consciousness is also the willingness to take the necessary steps, like I said, despite obstacles, to make things happen. Now, these concepts are important because if wealth consciousness is reflective of abundance, prosperity, and good fortune, it only makes sense that focus, planning, and having the right resources are necessary ingredients. And in each of our lives, resources are required to meet our needs, to meet our needs and our wants for adequate and appropriate supplies, which offer a sense of happiness and peace. Now, when we talk about resources, some of our resources are physical resources, having a physical roof over our head.
Helpful.
Say that again.
Helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Having a roof over our head. I mean,
that's a physical resource. We can see it. It's absolutely helpful and necessary. Being able to, you know, if I can't see really well, having glasses, a physical resource that I can see with my eye. Some of the resources in our life that we need and want are physical, But some of them, the resources in our life are invisible. We know they exist, but we can't see it with our visible eye. We all have a belief in knowledge and growth. You can't see it.
No.
But we know it exists. Love is an intangible value. I can't see love, but I know it exists. And you know, I was talking to a group. I was doing teaching one of my wealth consciousness classes most recently, and it dawned on me that most of our intangible values, most of our values that we cannot see with our eye, we can feel. We can feel them, and that's how we can pretty much know they exist. But I think that's important to know.
No, I was saying correct. I think, too, that I think about is family. Family is a big resource for me. I am very thankful for my family and the friends that are very supportive of me in this time and my spirituality. If I didn't have those two, it would be really rough for me right now. So I appreciate that, and I know that is a big resource. And when I think of something we used to do, we had a training on it, and we would have to do this in functional family therapy. We want to know what your resources are and what you have weaknesses in or what you have a lack in, so we could focus on the resources to get you where you needed to be in functional therapy. And it works. It really does work. So if you had a strong family, you had strong spirituality, hey, you had a bus to go to school, you're in a better place than some others. You know, you have COVID in your back. You have both parents in the home, things like that. Both parents that are functional, let me say that too.
And you bring up a really good point, because our knowledge of resources, when we are mindfully and consciously aware of what our resources are, and when we know how we value those resources in our life, we can assign. We can assign it a space. And when we can assign resources in our life, when we can give resources in our life a certain value, it helps us to determine our ability to achieve success and accomplishment. So an example that I would give of that is, I may say to you, ladies, you know, my health is really important to me. And on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being not at all important and 10 being most important, my health is a number 9 on the scale. Now, I want to talk to you girls a little bit more about that, but I'm going to ask you to hold on. Give me a couple of minutes, because I'm going to go smoke me a cigarette. So if I'm saying that my health is important to me, but yet I'm going to smoke a cigarette, you know, is it truly a number 9 on the scale? May or may not be, probably not. So we have to, it's important for us to know the values that we have in our life, where they are. And if my health is a number 5, that's okay. You know, it's important for me to know that, because as I set goals around my life, it's important for me to have congruency. And that means that my goals are lining up with my values. What I say that is important to me, I'm walking the walk. So, you know, having that alignment is important. And today there are 7 areas that
resources don't think about, and maybe this is where the poverty mentality might come up more for some, and the success, I don't know why I keep on saying sex, success and wealth mentality comes up, because I think about mentors. And if you don't have those people, I know, even though I lived in a middle-class neighborhood and grew up in a home and I have those parents, one thing I can say is if I didn't have certain people in my life at those times,
Hasina, you're kind of fading out a little bit, you're not clear.
Mentors is another great resource, and I said that that could play a big part with the mentality of poverty.
Okay, now you sound much better, but you weren't coming in clear, so we were having a hard time understanding what you were saying.
Okay, I was saying that having a poverty versus success wealth mentality plays a big part with your mentors. I know if I didn't have somebody in early adolescence to teenage to early 20s, I probably wouldn't have accomplished the goals that I had. So that's another big one.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Sure.
And today there are seven areas that have been identified or that I've identified as being resources that really deserve our time and attention. And so today we're going to talk about those resources as it relates to our goal setting, you know, as it relates to the goals that we set at the beginning of the year, where we are now, you know, if we need to do some revising and you know, and as we reflect on what we want our new year to look like. So those goals are that we're going to talk about, and you mentioned a couple of them, Hasina. And as we talk about these goals, I'm going to give definitions, and we're going to give definitions because it's important to understand vocabulary and terminology, and,
okay.
and especially in the context that we're talking about today.
Definitely.
So we're going to start off with family, and family are those people in your life who are supports and who you can count on in time of need. And you talked about that, Hasina. You said, if it weren't for my family, you know, those
right.
people who support me and who encourage me and who I can count on, I don't know what I would do. And when it comes to goal setting, and it doesn't matter whether we are setting goals for our businesses, doesn't matter whether we're setting career goals or personal goals, it doesn't matter. It's really important to look at these areas that we're talking about today because if my family situation, if I don't really have people in my life that support me and encourage me, I'm impoverished in that area, whether I recognize it or not, whether I like it or not, whether I understand it or not, whether I accept it or not, it doesn't matter. That's an area that I need to look at strengthening.
Very,
because
very
support, yeah, supports are so important. And sometimes our family does not end up being those people that we, you know, those parents that birthed us, those folks, you know, brothers and sisters and cousins that we grew up with. Sometimes
right.
as we become adults, we create our own families.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I just want to cut in with that. When you're talking about these supports and if life is worth living, it's so funny that you say that because that's what I do when I do suicide assessments. I have to assess and ask, give me two reasons to live. If they can't give me two reasons to live, we believe that they're suicidal. I'm thinking of when I was working in the jail, and if they couldn't give me two reasons to live, they had that nice bright orange jumpsuit on to say they might attempt suicide. So it is important to have reasons to live. People, it could be your dog, it could be anything, but if you don't have reasons to live, where's your motivation?
Yeah.
Wow.
I like
that. That just hit me. Wow. Okay.
Right, and I'm glad that you, because, you know, you touched on another important point. You know, it could be people or it could be animals. Some, you know, somebody.
Yay!
That has to be Wanda.
Yay! I've got three.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to have that sense of connection.
Yeah.
And when it's missing in our life, you know, we owe it to ourselves to set some goals in that area of our life, to figure out, you know, what can I do to fill that void? Because it's a void. When we don't have it, it's a void. And you know, like I said, I may not have that family, that biological family, but I may have a group of folks that I am with on a regular basis that support, encourage me. And they can be my family. So then we have home life. And home is a place where one can feel safe and secure from the worries and problems of life. So, you know, that's a huge area for a lot of folks. You know, some folks are fortunate enough where in that area it's a check. It's a check, it's a go. But then there may be other folks where you know, having that place of feeling safe and secure is just not there. And if that is the situation, all it means is that's an area that I could stand to set a goal in. Because it may not happen instantaneously. You know, I up and snatched my roots from Cleveland, Ohio. I snatched up my root, my stability from everything that I knew. You know, I had a stable job. I'd been working for 10 years. I had a nice home. I had family. I had friends. And my daughter was in Florida. And I made a decision to move to Florida, start it all over again.
Wow.
And, and then I lived with my daughter for a while. But now my youngest daughter just moved to this area from Ohio, and it made sense for us to get a place together, you know, because I want her to get acclimated to the community and get herself together and things of that nature. But, you know, now I'm living with my other daughter, which I'm choosing to look at this as, this is a great way for me to get to know my adult children.
Yep.
But definitely.
Absolutely.
At some point, yeah, but definitely at some point I want my own place where I can go home and just, you know, if I want to close my door, I will. If I don't want to close my door, it's good too. You know. And I can just woosah.
Oh yeah.
So
what was that again?
Woosah.
All right. I think that's the title of the show.
Woofa.
How do I spell that?
Wait, that's a good question. W-O-O-S-A? Good question.
S-A-H. Put an H in there, and that'll make it last a little longer.
Woofa.
I like that.
Yeah. So I say that to say, you know, even if we have not accomplished our goal in the area of having our own place or having that place where we can feel safe or having that place where we can feel secure, knowing that it's a process. And being able to figure out, where am I in that process? I'm at the beginning stages? Am I in the middle? Am I at the end? Am I really close to, you know, am I really close to being at a place where, you know, soon I'll be able to get my own place? Or, you know, it could be, you know, feeling safe and secure home. You know, it could be a lot of different things for a lot of different people. It could be, but a mobile phone. And not only, absolutely, and not only that, it could be going somewhere and having peace. When I walk in the door, I'm not walking into a war zone.
Definitely.
When I open the door, when I turn the key, you know, I don't have to worry about being demeaned. I don't have to worry about drama. I don't have to worry about drama. So, you know, that place where I can feel safe and secure from the worries and problems of life. And it is different for each of us, because what makes me feel safe and secure may be different than, you know, what makes you feel safe and secure, Wanda. So I'm the only one that can answer, you know, that can set that goal for me.
Right.
Yeah.
And Katrina, I think about what you said about your goals and how it parallels the family support, your home life. I would even add spiritual, because that goes back to a program I started with losing weight, or I don't like to say losing weight, feeling healthier. It's not about losing the weight. It's about being healthy, not worrying about diabetes, blood pressure, things like that. And I would tell all my clients, if you don't have your home life together, if you have issues at your job, if you're having relationship issues, if you feel depressed, there's no way you're going to be in a situation where you can get on a system where I'm going to eat better, because I'm going to be honest, especially as women, we eat when we don't feel too great. We eat more when we don't feel too great. If we're having stuff with our relationship, do you think we're going to want to get up in the morning and run a mile? No, we're not. You know, are we going to go to the grocery store to get the right things, or are we going to emotionally eat and get those Oreos?
Ice cream.
Yes, ice cream. All those things. So I know you're going to touch on the personal, the career, and the business, but with personal, that's so important. Let's say a lot of people come up with the goal of, I want to lose 10 pounds by the end of the year, but what do you do in that year, and how do you keep, and I know we talked about this before, how do we keep our vibration high to stay there and not have what you talked about before, revenge, selfishness, you know, you're giving back, you're happy, you feel that you have favor over your life and on your life, you feel like you have family supporting you. If you don't have that, then everything caves in. Those goals that you want to have won't really work the way they should.
Great point. Yeah, great point, Hasina. And having, when we talk about family, having people in our life who encourage us and support us, you know, that's really huge. You know,
that's
really huge. And then also, and then
so huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then also, Hasina, as you were talking, you're absolutely right. It's a holistic perspective. It's not just about one or two things. It's about being aware of all the different areas in our life, all the different resources in our life, and working towards having balance. So I totally agree. The second area we're going to look at is financial and career. And financial is the ability to support one's needs and wants through the purchase of goods and services. And you know, where am I in that area? You know, for me, I've started a business. Business has been up and operational for a while, and I bring in an income, but I still have to work from time to time in order to reach some of the goals that I've set for my life. And my ultimate goal is for my business to be totally self-supporting, totally, but I'm not there right now. And I have to recognize that, you know, financially, and I have to set goals, you know, to, you know, continue to bring in multiple sources of income. And for me, work, even though I want to work for myself fully 100%, you know, it's just not the reality right now. So that's really important, an important area for us to look at. You know, did we set goals in that area in the new year? And you know, where are we at in that goal? And, you know, do we need to do some revision? And then career. A career is a profession, usually requires special skills that develop over time with experience and education. You know, for those folks who are on the career path, what are some goals that you have set or are setting to advance, to be promoted? You know, throughout the year, have you been writing down your accomplishments? Have you been writing down the things that you do well? Are you prepared for your annual evaluation? Because believe it, your boss has been keeping a folder on you and marking when you've had an accomplishment and marking when you've had some failures. Are you doing the same thing so that when you go to ask for a raise, you've got your evidence, you've got your fact sheet in front of you saying, you know, in the 2015 year, I accomplished this and this and this and this, and here's a stretch goal that I reached, and here's how I helped the company to save money, and here's how I helped to eliminate this inefficiency. Are we keeping our own folder on ourselves so that we can advance? And that's just one way to look at the career goal, at the career area. Am I doing the work that I want to do? And if the answer is no, it only means that this is a great area to look at to set a goal. You know, if I'm interested in nursing, you know, I may need to start taking those steps by going to school so that I can reach that goal.
I love that you talked about it, because I haven't looked at the goals that I set since the beginning of the year, and I just looked at it when we talked about this as being our show topic. And I set mine up a little different. I set the intentions for next year with personal, and personal just means me, then with my relationships and family, and then career. And I look at this and I'm like, wow, this is definitely not anything that I did at all consistently at all.
Okay. And that may mean, and that could mean that you did other things.
Yeah.
It could mean that other areas took precedence. So not necessarily that. Go ahead, Susina.
I think for me, I had some health changes that I didn't know I was going to have that lasted for most of the year or half of the year. And, you know, having the transition of moving played a big part. I just moved in August, so it's a lot. Like, fully 100% moved, everything done in August, where it took a lot out of me, and then all the things that were happening previously. So
after
I have my space to do what I need to do, I saw it coming, and now I need to work at it again. And I believe I could just revisit this again and push forward.
And that's awesome. And I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I was going to say, don't press snooze on that alarm clock when I need to get up early in the morning to go do my exercise.
Okay. But, you know, something that you said that was pretty significant, you know, other goals happened that took precedence. you had some health concerns or some health challenges that you had to set some goals around.
Very true.
And so where health was not, didn't have to be number one, two, three on the scale, when these health challenges came, those health challenges had to move up your scale, and then those other challenges or those other goals you set had to come down a couple of notches. Because the truth is, we can't work on everything at the same time. And,
no.
And that's why, right, and that's
and
why
things,
it's so important for us.
Things change.
Things change. Absolutely. Absolutely. So the next area is spirituality and ethics. Spirituality is the belief in a greater purpose, a search for truth, a process of personal growth. And, you know, how am I growing? What are my ways of searching for truth? Spending some time to get to know who I am, developing a relationship with something greater than myself, a greater purpose. And for everybody, that's different. But, you know, the question is, you know, what goals have you set for yourself in that area?
I think my yearly goal has that during the last year, which is great. Now that and I appreciate you, Katrina, because I didn't even look at it that way. My goals changed. My goal was to maintain my health, to situate what was going on with my health, and I didn't even look at it that way. I just looked at it as, oh, I didn't do anything that I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I appreciate that. I really do.
Oh yeah, you're welcome. And, you know, a lot, and we always set goals. From the time that we wake up in the morning until the time we go to bed at night, we are always setting a goal. You know, but we don't consciously think about the steps that we're taking in order to get the things that we want. We don't look at it in that manner. You know, but that's what we're doing. You know, when we, you know, during the weekday when we're working and we have to be to work at a certain time and we achieve that goal, we have to take some action steps in order to make that happen, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we set goals all the time. Yeah. But, you know, so being aware and being mindful that's what's taking place. That's what this process is that we're going through. Sometimes it just makes it helpful. So let's talk about ethics. Ethics is a set of beliefs based on right or wrong, a moral code, a set of standards. Your moral code may not look like my moral code.
No, it probably doesn't.
And that's okay. And that's okay. But, you know, if I don't know what my moral code is, if I don't take time out to be quiet and be still and reflect on what are my values, what are my morals, what are my set of standards, somebody else will make their set of standards my set of standards. And then I may not be living my life in congruency. Probably won't be happy, and I don't even know why.
I know. It happens.
Yeah. I love it. It's great. It's really true. As you're saying, the ethics, you have to be true to yourself and know. It's something Martin Luther King said. I can't quote him correctly, but you have to know what you know and be okay with it and don't be pushed over by somebody else's thoughts. Even as we talked about in the past, people talking in your head, make sure it's you talking and your conscience talking in your head and not other people with their own agendas for your life.
I know.
Wanda.
How do you know this, Wanda?
It's uncanny how I know these things. And that brings me to the quote of the day, Katrina, thanks. when you truly don't care what anyone thinks of you, you have reached a dangerously awesome level of freedom. Amen.
How about that?
Best thing I saw this morning. That got me going.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and it we in our society, we are taught to be conformist, conform. You know, if we're not doing what everybody else is doing, something's wrong with us. And, you know, that may not be our truth. You know, that may not be my truth.
It's such a challenge in a career of entertainment. And I'm like, you know, that's kind of what I'm supposed to be thinking, but I also have to be true to who I am in order to be an authentic, or whatever I'm doing, you know, in front of others. And if the attempt is to somewhat entertain, then I don't know. But I think when you care too much what people think, that you lose that element of creativity maybe.
Yes. And, and you lose that ability to be who you are.
Right. What do you bring to the game?
Absolutely. And being confident and comfortable with that. You know, because it, you
working
know,
on it. I'm there. I'm getting there.
Yeah, because even with our show, you know, each of us brings something different to the table. We complement each other with it.
I was thinking the same thing.
It's a good thing.
We're experts in our own right. We really are.
Okay.
We really
are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's look at, let's see, let 1, 2, 3. So we just looked at 3 areas, and we've got 7 to cover. So let's look at physical and health. And you touched on this earlier, Hasina. Physical is the ability to have mental, physical, and spiritual well-being. And for me, I think that's really huge, because it's not only that I'm healthy physically, but that I have some peace of mind, that I'm mentally okay and spiritually, and that, you know, that in my spirit or in my soul or in my gut, that I feel at peace with what's going on with my life. I can feel at peace with the decisions and the choices that I'm making in my life. All of those 3 together is what makes my physical really solid. You know, we can't decompartmentalize and say, okay, this is my mental health. Okay, this is my physical health. Okay, this is my spiritual health. It all works together. It all works together, and that's important for us to know. And what goals are we creating for ourselves in those areas?
That's my book name, or part of my book, Mind, Body, and Soul. Instead of soul, some people say spirit, but mind, body, and soul, if those 3 things don't have a balance to it, things are out of whack.
Okay. And I know for me, I practice yoga, and my yoga instructor says that yoga gives us the ability to carry our own weight. And for me, that's so profound on so many levels. You know, am I mentally carrying my own weight? Am I physically able to carry my own weight? And spiritually, am I able to carry my own weight? Am I able to stand on what my beliefs are? And then health, the absence of disease or the ability to manage wherever I am with my health.
You know, because sometimes we just can't go without having the absence of that disease, even though that's the, you know, that's what we all want. You know, sometimes we have to learn how to manage or what we have, what we're dealing with, and so that we can be at our optimal health, whatever that is for us, and it's different for everybody.
Very true. Very true.
Yeah, and you talked about that. You know, you had to take time out from those initial goals that you set in the beginning of the year, and you know you had to do some rearranging. And where number one may have been the business, you had to make that number two or number three, and you had to make your health number one.
Very, very true. I had a lot of people, well, not a lot, but a few people saying, hey, we want you to come aboard to do this. And I'm like, yes, I think I can do it. And as soon as I thought I could, my health interrupted and said, you're not ready yet. So I had to take a back seat.
Yeah. So important, you know, what goals are we setting in that area? What goals did we set in 2015 that, you know, we've accomplished, that, you know, it's working for us, or that we may need to reevaluate, may need to drop? Because I may have said I was going to do something in 2015 that it just is not going to happen, and it's not going to happen because I changed my mind. Just not interested anymore. You know, it's okay. You know, and I may replace that with something else, but, you know, just being aware. So the next resource in our life is social and cultural. Social, enjoying the company of others, getting along with others. And I'm going to tell you, social is an area that messes a lot of people up in life.
Yeah. Did I say that too loud?
So we have to evaluate that. How well am I able to get along with others, with people who are not like me? It's really big in the workplace. Really big in the workplace.
And as long as it doesn't affect your ethics, I think you need to leave those things at home, because you're walking into a space of different personalities, different cultural backgrounds, different religious backgrounds. So also with that, you have to be very careful what you say. You know, you don't want to disrespect anyone.
Absolutely.
I was wondering what the word or the term politically correct, because to be political is just going with the status quo, and correct is really just someone else's judgment. So I think that if people are at least speaking honestly, and if they make a misspeak, then, you know, take the correction, or, you know, listen to how that person, you know, go with it. And then learn from the situation. But I think sometimes, not that we're getting, and I'm not trying to sound like Donald Trump about, you know, being too politically correct, but I kind of get that. Maybe being in the media, just you're always, you can't be too conscious of your words, because then you're starting to just almost sound like our president, with long gapping pauses between every word that you say.
No, well, Wanda, for me, I think it's a real balancing act. But I think that there are some clear times. There are clear moments when something may happen that I may not care about, or it may not rub me the wrong way. But you know what? It is not that deep in the scheme of things. And I I'll give you an example. You know, I was at an orientation
not long ago, and I saw two people in the orientation almost go to blows over a situation that didn't involve either one of them. I couldn't believe it. And I was like, you know, and I'm thinking these two people are about to lose a job that they don't really even have yet over something that is really none of their business, either one of them. Really? So I think that, for me, I think the ability to know when to speak and when not to speak, and the, I don't know, it's a dance, and it can be a delicate dance at times, not losing who I am in the process, but recognizing what's my business and, yeah, what's my business and what's not my business, I think, for me. You know, for me, and it may be different from others. And you know, if people in our listening audience, you know, have different perspectives on it, you know, call us and let us know, or you know, let us know, because it sometimes it can be complicated.
Yeah, I'm always interested in other perspectives, quite honestly.
Yeah, yeah. But in a general way, you know, we should be able to deal with people on a basis that we can agree to disagree,
right?
And that we can be cordial. You know, I may not like you, but it doesn't prevent me from saying good morning, good evening.
Yeah,
you know, that kind of thing,
or just occasionally saying, you know, I never thought of it that way.
Absolutely.
You know,
changing perspective.
Just have that out every now and then. People appreciate it. They really do.
Yeah,
you
like
don't
that.
And that's not being agreeable. I don't agree with you. It's just like, you know, I never thought of it that way.
Never thought of it like that. I like that. I'm gonna borrow that from you.
You know what I think about that? I think too many people assume instead of asking questions. In my field of work, you gotta ask questions. And asking questions won't put you in a place where you have to apologize or kind of eat your own words if you just
ask. Oh, my gosh. I feel like I tell that to people every day. You preach. That's my mantra. Oh.
Ask questions. Yes. Too many people assume.
Yeah, and I'm in the communication business. I'm like, we in the communication business assume the most. I'm like, stop it, people. It's your job to ask questions. Just do it.
Uh-huh.
I hate when I hear a reporter. It makes me crazy. I'm like, oh, I assume. I'm like, just ask the question.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know. Or they're not assuming, and they're just playing it up. I'm psychic. I don't know. I just don't like to. I hate that. I don't hate it. It just makes my skin a little tingly.
Okay. So, you know, the question is, how often are we setting goals in that area of being able to enjoy the company of others, the ability to get along with others? And along with that comes culture, which is the ability to relate, learn about, and accept others who are different than you.
Yeah. Tricky.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I have friends that live in England. I have friends who live in India. I have friends who live in Austria, Australia. You know, nothing. We're different, but we have some commonalities. There are some things that we do have in common, and so I'm learning to look at what we have in common, opposed to looking at what we have that is different. But,
I appreciate diversity. I like learning things that I didn't know before. So I'm always about meeting new people, trying new things. Well, mostly food.
Okay.
Sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah, but Christian, I think we should appreciate the differences and the similarities, too. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Appreciate the differences and enjoy the similarities, but you might learn something new or learn something great, so never give up. And I'm happy to say that most of the people that I know they have all different backgrounds, different religious backgrounds, cultural backgrounds, and I appreciate them in hearing a different scope of what's going on in the world. You know, I might hear from a Muslim friend, then a Jewish friend, then somebody from the West Indies, somebody from England, and it's awesome. Somebody from up north, somebody from down south, somebody from the west side. It's awesome. I love it. I love it.
Do you mean South Aid or North Aid?
Say it again. I'm sorry.
It was kind of a joke. I meant South Miami-Dade or, like, different people or North Miami-Dade people because they're different people.
They are.
That's like Miami joke.
Okay.
they really are, though.
Well, you could say South Florida and North Florida. Totally different in certain ways and some similarities
exactly.
In ways, too.
Yep. Indeed.
Interesting. Yeah. So then we get to mental and emotional. Mental, the ability to learn new skills, reading, writing, and math, needed to function in everyday life. How often am I setting goals in that area? What am I doing to stimulate my mind, to stimulate my brain, to get myself mentally motivated? What are your thoughts on that, ladies? Any thoughts?
That one's an interesting one. I believe because I'm in Toastmasters, I have to change the way I write and the way I speak. And I do that on a regular basis, at least every other week or once a week when I go to Toastmasters and I find things that I used to do, I try not to do anymore in my writing and my speaking. Reading, I used to be an avid reader. And now I'm finally able to get back to that, and I am excited. Math,
what?
Not so much. Math is math for me. I'm not a scientist. My major is in the social sciences, so that changes a lot of how you might look at things. But even maybe dealing with my son, he's 6, and I know in public school they do core math. I'm hoping in private school they will not. But that might be something I might need to know in the future, how to do core math, because, yes, but he also needs that help when it comes to his mom being able to teach him.
Hmm. Oh, boy, Mom.
Mm-hmm. And I know there, you know, some people who have, you know, children, they get, you know, when they get tutored, when their children get tutored, they're right in there on them lessons too.
Because
things do change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I know I'm in school. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm in school, so I'm constantly challenging myself in reading and math and writing and, oh, Lord, you know, constantly.
Oh, yes. I just listen to NPR and watch TED.
What about
NPR and TED?
One that most people that have to go to school, they have to do at least one class in statistics. And I had to do it in undergrad, and I had to do it in graduate school. That's a challenging subject for some, or let's say for me. Wasn't my favorite subject, but I made it through.
So how often are we setting goals in those different areas of our life? And what about the emotional? The ability to control emotional responses, especially in negative situations, without engaging in destructive behavior.
That
is huge. You know, how often are we challenging ourselves to control our emotions, to control our responses, especially in negative situations, without engaging in self-destructive behavior? And, you know, what does that mean to you?
I can definitely say I'm not the same person I was 10 years ago or even more than that. And I'm very happy I'm not that same person, or I would probably be in a lot more issues. And I think it is good to control your emotions or know when to vent your emotions and to whom, so you can be maybe in a safe space doing it versus doing it maybe as some people do on Facebook, on YouTube, and because they put it out there, they lose their job, per se. So
well, my job is sometimes is being on the radio. And for me, what I'm doing, different podcasts as right now, I mean, I'd like to be as honest as I can. And I tell people in my life, it's like I will sometimes, if, you know, if my life is part of the show, that'll be included. I'll leave names out as much as possible. But if I need extra, I have the luxury of, if I need extra input in my life, I can go to an audience of not just two, maybe five, seven, given, you know, who knows. Who knows who's listening? But I'm just saying that I like having that with the job I get to do. For me, that's fun. And I like hearing other people's opinions on things. And sometimes I don't, because you change my mind and I get really mad. I'm like,
oh,
that's
funny. Wow.
I know what I used to
think. That's funny. We had a caller, and I tried to pick up the call, and I wasn't able to. So, caller, you know, please give us a call back, and I'm going to try to pick up that call again. And whoever it was, they may have wanted to respond to one of the questions that we were talking about. So I apologize for that caller, and please do give us a call back. So the last area is relationships and role models. Now, relationships are defined as the way in which two or more people respond and relate to each other. They can be personal or cordial. So relationships is definitely an area to look at as we set goals.
Definitely.
And, yeah, and, you know, are there relationships that, you know, that you may want to improve, either personal or cordial? You know, that could go, if it's a business, that could very well be networking. You know, how often are we networking, going out to events, meeting new people, that kind of thing? If it's a personal goal,
not nearly
goal,
enough.
How... Okay. See, and that, and for me, that was one reason that I joined one of our local chamber of commerce, because
yeah,
it was important to me to get out and to meet different people to find out what was going on in my city. You know, maybe there were some people who would be able to benefit from, you know, from the services I offered, and then I may be of service to someone, and you know, helping, maybe someone may be able to benefit me with the services that they provide. You know, that networking, really, really important. You know, or are there people in my... go ahead.
I think of one that I know I need to work on, and it's really big when it comes to having your own business, is you network, which is great. And you might connect one time, but then the follow-up, to keep them constant and consistent, because there's resources, when we go back to that, and all of the things that come with resources that they might have that you don't know they have. So if you don't keep in contact with them, you might miss something where you might get a customer. Did you hear me good?
That's a great point.
Yeah.
I think that's a great point.
Yeah.
You know, just because you meet someone and they can't meet your immediate needs doesn't mean that you may not be able to help that person, or they may not be able to help you in the future, either directly or indirectly.
very, very true. I remember thinking about the follow-up again when I interned in D.C. some over a decade ago. Oh, boy. One thing they said to me was, when you get their card, write something about them that you will remember. So let's say somebody said, yes, and I have two kids, and one's a girl, one's a boy, and this is their ages. Write that down so you can say, oh, yeah, now your daughter is 10. How is your 10-year-old doing now? Things like that. Maybe they talked about the job or something that they like. Write that down on the back of the card so when you call them, you can jog their memory, and then you have a connection that's lasting.
Good one.
Yeah. And I don't know if I said, even if it's a personal relationship, you know, is there a relationship that I want to try to mend? Or is there a relationship that I want to develop? You know, is there someone that I see them all the time, but I've never really taken the time to get to know that person? And just setting a goal to, you know, to maybe go out to lunch with this person and get to know something about, a little bit more about them. That kind of thing.
I did that just this week.
Oh, okay.
Yay, Wanda.
Yeah,
yay.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
That was nice.
And so when we are growing our network, whether it's our business network, whether it's our work network, whether it's our circle of people that we know, our circle of friends, setting a goal to maybe join an organization so that I can get to know people. You know, some people join Toastmasters. Some people join chambers. Some people join associations. Some people join clubs. All different type of ways that we can get to build relationships with others.
Definitely. Meetup is a great one when I think about building new relationships. Meetup would be a great one. Maybe if you're dealing with some type of religious entity, that's another great one. There's a lot of great ways to meet people. You don't have to stay behind your computer anymore. You can get out there. There's organizations for every background and
you might have to find them on your computer, but once you get off the computer.
Yes, Wanda, definitely.
I'm just saying, don't leave the computer out.
No, don't leave the computer out, but then after you find what you need to find on the computer, get off the computer.
There you go. I love the computer.
Okay.
Actually,
so lots
I love the
of
internet.
Ways. Yeah, you know. And let's face it, social media has helped us to connect with people that we would otherwise not connect with often, and it has helped us to connect with
people
that we don't get a chance to
really
see that often.
Yeah.
How about that?
I mean, I feel like I've met more spiritual people through the internet than I ever would have met before. Yeah, I mean, before it was college or something in an ad in a paper but I'm like, God bless the internet every day. It brings people together. I mean, and yeah, it splits people apart too, but it gives us more choices. And I think that spiritually, that's very good for us.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Cause I met both of you ladies at different events that I found through Meetup.
Yep.
You know, Wanda, you and
Abraham.
I met at a meetup. Mm-hmm. At a meetup, and then even Hasina, you and I met at a meetup. We met through the resume writing meetup.
Right.
Yeah. So a great way, you know, great way to meet people and develop relationships. And you know, what are the goals that we're setting in those areas? So last but not least, role models. And role models are those people who influence our behavior, attitudes, and values. Role models are all around us. We all have people who influence us, whether we know it or not, understand it or not, or accept it or not. And role models can be both affirming and disaffirming. But we're talking about people who affirm us. So how often are we setting goals in the area of either being a role model to someone or a group of people, or having a role model, finding, seeking out individuals to be, you know, to mentor us and to be our role models?
How often? I would say not as often as I might like, because a lot of my role models are very busy. But I think it is very important to check in on a regular basis and bounce out ideas off of someone.
Yeah.
And I want to say a role model can be a person, but a role model can also be books about people. Reading books about autobiographies about folks who are doing things that we want to be doing. As well as having, you know, people in our life who mentor us, of course, also. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we put a different spin on the show this week as far as goal setting, and because it's so important for us to recognize the different areas in our life that require attention and that require us to ask the question, what am I doing in this area? Have I set goals in this area? Am I reaching the goals? Do I need to reevaluate? And in these areas in my life, where do I see myself a year from now? What are some goals that I can set in the new year to help me to get where I want to be? Any last words, ladies? We're kind of winding down on the show.
All great words.
I think definitely.
Do we have a new time coming up that we need to mention?
Thank you. Yes, we do. Starting in November, we are going to be airing our show every Tuesday from 1 to 2. So great. Thank you for that, Wanda. And we'll post that on our show page as well. Thank you.
Definitely.
For that. Christina?
I love that we talked about this before December, because we are three quarters in, closer to the end of the year. It's very good to renew and reevaluate, because the year's over. Really, it's Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, the major things that most people do in America, and it's about over. Even though we touch outside of America, those are ours, and we need to get on it. Definitely. Time to reflect so we can have better goals or more efficient goals for the new year for 2016.
Like us on Facebook.
Yeah, like us on Facebook. Thank you. So we're going to close up our show, and we want to thank you, our listening audience, for tuning in to another edition of Positively Affirmative. This is the show where we affirm you with education, information, and resources in the areas of self-care, career development, business building, and wealth consciousness, challenges, and solutions. I am your host, Katrina Jones, Prosperity Life Coach of Satari Life Skills Institute, along with Hasina Roach, Relational Consultant, and Wanda Miles, Radio Personality. You know, this show is about developing a work-life balance and becoming the director of your life story. Follow us on blogtalkradio.com/Prosperity Life Coach, and like us on Facebook. What is our address? Do you know, Hasina?
Do, yes, I do. Positively Affirmative Radio.
On, like us on Positively Affirmative Radio. Thank you. And join us next week at 5 o'clock, next Sunday at 5 o'clock. Bring a friend, share the wealth, and the prosperity. All right, abundant blessings, everyone. Have a great week.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks. Bye, Wanda.
Bye, everyone.
Okay.
Don't mess with Mr. In Between. Don't mess with Mr. In Between.